Welcome to the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Welcome to ITSB Magazine. Every company has a story to tell, from the small startup to the large enterprise, and everything in between. This is one of them. Knowledge is power, now more than ever.
Marco.
Sean. So now we got the popcorn, we got the soda, we're back for the second half.
We got a refill of the soda. It's an endless soda.
It's an endless soda. It's a good thing. Do you miss that from not going to the movies in this year?
I miss a lot of things. Endless soda would be one of them, for sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe.
Endless stream of stuff. Endless stream of stuff.
Will you be able to get the tickets when the movie open again, or there's going to be some scrapping going on?
That's a good question. And that's something we talked about in part one of this conversation. Mm-hmm. And I'm gonna tie back the stream, because if the stream of stuff happening prevents you from getting tickets, you're going to be not very happy. Maybe the company selling the tickets is happy that they got the tickets sold, but they're not going to have happy customers for very long in that sense. So let's continue the conversation. The good, the bad, the ugly, the bots. Bots are here. They're here to stay. Their traffic on the internet has grown substantially compared to human traffic. And one can question, is it legitimate traffic or not? And we're going to talk more about that in this part two. So let's introduce our guests, and then I'll do a quick recap of some of the things we covered in part one. Edward Roberts from Imperva, good to have you on again. Part two.
Thanks for having me again, guys. Appreciate it.
Here we are. You have so much more to say. We couldn't fit it all in one.
Yeah. And I think before you do the recap, Sean, I'm going to make a note of where we stop. We said something where you can't avoid the fight. And so, as to use the metaphor of the spaghetti western, let's try to find during this conversation what is the best way to address and manage the problem. And Sean, we talk a lot about the ethical issue, the line that is really blurry between good and bad, and maybe everything is bad. I don't know. We're kind of there.
It's all bad. No.
It's all bad.
No, it's all good. No, I think we covered what a bot is, who runs them, why they run them, what's their motivation. Edward was able to give us some insight into some scenarios. Tickets was one where tickets might get purchased by a bot, or shoes might get purchased by a bot, and legitimate people interested in those things may not get them or have to pay a hefty price to get it off the black market. So those are a couple of examples. We started to talk about the ethical lines and the impact of business, and we started to touch on industries and some that are impacted more than others. And I want to pick up there, Edward, looking at the industries. Maybe you can share a few bits from the Bad Bot Report that's helping us to have this conversation. What are some of the industries most affected? And maybe as you touch on that, why are some industries more vulnerable to bad bot behavior than others?
Yeah, I think that the opening salvo is really that every industry gets affected in some way. It just depends on the degree to which you get affected, right? So we've got, some of the traditional ones would be your ticketing, as you've mentioned. We're seeing a growth in the volume of bot traffic going to retail and e-commerce sites, which makes sense, you know, if you think that the money-making stream from arbitraging tickets for events was taken away from people during COVID because those things were not occurring, so there was no way to sell tickets and resell them. They moved somewhere else, and the speculation is that they moved obviously to retail because you saw suddenly the influx of people buying gaming consoles and new graphics cards and graphics drivers to play games, which you could see that more people would want those during when they're in lockdown. And so you can see that there became an opportunity for people to buy gaming consoles. So we saw a movement maybe from one industry to another that was seems pretty logical, because that's where you could now make money. And there's a lot of evidence out there that there was significant money available for people to resell gaming consoles specifically and these graphics cards on secondary markets. So that looks like a very sort of repeatable behavior. You mentioned sneakers and things like that. So there's many, many different types of industries where they have a limited edition of stock or a limited number of stock that they can go and resell somewhere at a higher price and try and make some money off that. So we saw that. I think there's some other things that are very prevalent, and it's across industries, but some industries may get affected differently, is that if you publish prices or you publish proprietary information on your website, those are liable to be scraped in some way. And so competitors could be doing that. So therefore, your argument here of is this a good bot or a bad bot? Or is it doing something gray in between? You know, if you've made a price available on a site and your competitors are scraping it and beating you in the marketplace, it could affect your business. But is it actually illegal because you've actually made it available for everybody else to see too? And that's where you get this gray area of what's acceptable and what's not. And that's for people to discuss from an ethical point. So I think, but some of it is more egregious, right? So you're scraping, right now we're seeing heavy scrapers on healthcare sites trying to, as we said, scraping those vaccine availabilities and testing availabilities and things like that. And as we mentioned last time, that there's a goodness about offering that service to people, but it's still a bot that's scraping a site that didn't really want a bot on there, even if it's packaged together and put on a service somewhere else that might be beneficial to the general population. That website and that business still has to deal with it. And so I think sometimes that when we talk about industries, we get blinded by a specific industry thinking it happens just to them and it doesn't happen to us. But it does happen to all of them. It's just about the degree, because if in the report we slice the data by industry, but then we also slice it by sophistication level of the bots on it, and now you get a very different look of which industries are having the more sophisticated bots attacking them. So I think there's that balance here between what are they actually doing, what's on the website, and what's the impact. Because I'll give you a direct one before I end my long-winded answer. If you can get access into an account, so a login credential bot, if you can do credential stuffing and then get inside an account, whatever is inside that account can be compromised. And that could be damaging from a fraud perspective, could be damaging from a PII perspective to the person whose account information it is. Maybe there's healthcare information in there. Maybe it's their bank account. Maybe it's their e-commerce account that has credit card details in it or their address in it. Whatever's in there is liable to be used in some nefarious way if somebody's illegally accessed an account. Bots are the first line of that attack. And so you can see the value of stopping that is you're stopping that downstream fraud and whatever happens once somebody actually gets into that account and compromises the information held within it.
Let's take that scenario, because that's kind of like the first entry point, right? And not always do we see the word bot attached to cracked passwords or account takeovers necessarily, but that's certainly one method and probably a very prevalent method to get in. But let's look at the rest of the operating stack, if you will, and where bots play a role. And let's look at this from two perspectives, where bots are good for the business and where they cause harm to the business. And what I'd like to, let's start with the good stuff. So where do organizations find value? As you were talking, I was thinking about the restaurants or a club or a bar where they put a line outside right? To make it look like things are really busy, to show that they have a very popular place to be. And I'm wondering if bots could help with that perception. I'm just riffing a little bit here, but can bots help with that perception from a company's perspective, like the tickets are almost sold out or something like that? So are there ways for bots to help, even if it's a misleading help?
Yeah, I guess in terms of making it appear like the site is busy, bots would definitely, they would add to that in terms of, does the site perform as well? It might be using up bandwidth and slowing it up. So it might, you know, maybe people think it's a poor site, or maybe they think it's a very busy site. I mean, I think that some that perception could be there. I think sometimes what good bots, you want them there because they help your business. And I think what's happened over time now is that the good bots, there are a lot more tools that are automation that people use to help their business run. And we talked previously about search engines. You want them scraping your content and indexing you so that you're findable. On top of that, then you have like SEO tools that you might use that would evaluate keywords and evaluate what keywords would be good for you to bid on, what values, you know, what keywords you should add into your content to make you even more findable. So there are tools like that that you would allow if you were doing it yourself. And so that, you know, I also mentioned previously, I think the vulnerability scanners, right? If you wanted to scan your code and have a tool that makes sure that your vulnerabilities are, you know, looking for any vulnerabilities that might have been added to your site, if you run that, that's a good bot for you. But if it's run by somebody else, it's a bad bot, right? So it can be both. The same tool can be both good and bad in that example. I think other ones that are pretty obvious, if you want to maintain an understanding of whether your website is up and performing, there's a bot that could check, am I getting a response, you know, and pinging your servers to make sure everything's working. So that would be something that would be beneficial for you internally. So there's a lot of these good bots that you could use and that are used. And as more and more people and websites become more and more important to businesses, there's more and more of these tools being created. It's probably more work, you're more important about, you know, who is the holder of the tool and who is pointing it at you. If it's you, you're probably okay with it. If it's not you and you didn't authorize it, then you probably got a legitimate worry about what's it doing.
Presumably, we're calling them tools, but they're probably an application, maybe a service that's running somewhere. Who's responsible for identifying these things? Is it the line of business owner? Is it IT operations? And is security involved in that at all? And the first thing that comes to mind is shadow IT, right? Where somebody says, "Oh, I want to do this with or for my business, and I found this service that I can use to help me with that. I'm going to stand it up and run it." So, talk to me about how bots are put in place by the organization.
I mean, those are all, you know, as you're building these applications, you know, if your security would be running the vulnerability scanners, you would have marketing would then be launching the SEO tools, right? So you've got different groups who might be launching different tools. You've got probably operations or website operations, network operations, making sure you've got uptime, making sure that we're all up, right? So those tools are being used. So you've got a whole different bunch of people probably launching different tools up and making sure, and they're all valid for the business. So at some point it comes into IT and who's managing that. But I think, you know, in terms of the overarching point at the end of this is that there is a certain percentage of traffic that is coming to your website that is automation. You probably need to do something about it, because it's not there for no good reason and it's not benign. It is there to do something. So if you ignore it and think, "Oh, it's okay, we're fine, there's nothing major happening," there is probably something that is damaging your brand, damaging your customer experience, bringing your site down, competitively beating you, scraping information. There's something happening. And so regardless of what the tools are, you need to be understanding all of that traffic that's coming. You know, and there are tools that can allocate, these are the good bots, and you're going to allow them to get whitelisted and go through. And, you know, those are tools, something, you know, like Imperva offers. And there are tools that detect those bad bots as well and itemize which ones are those bads. And you know, we offer that. So those things are all available to you to actually put as protections against the website. But it's first some people getting over that hurdle of what the bot, you know, we have bots, but I don't think they do anything. And that's the naive assumption I think people are starting to really understand across industries. There are certain industries that understand it very well, you know, ticketing, airlines, a lot of other industries understand it pretty well. Retail is understanding it a lot more. And now as it goes through from industry to industry, each one is starting to get more and more knowledgeable. And so I think the point is here, you do have a problem. You just don't know the scale of it yet on your business. Because some businesses, I've looked at data on some companies that have 96% of their traffic is bots. And so it can vary within industries, across industries, but it can vary for a specific company in the same industry. And, you know, so the problem is there, no doubt about it.
So at this point, we're at the point that we know that we can't eliminate them. I remember in the first conversation, you brought the example of you're putting hurdles and obstacles. So you catch some, then some go through, some other are more sophisticated and we catch them too. And I was thinking about, you know, we can just spray everything and save the day. But that, as you say, you know, it may be hard to distinguish a good bot from a bad bot. And then in the end, which one is good, which one is bad? It's a very blurry line. So let's assume we're at the point where we all understand that we got to deal with it and we have to fight. So how would a good strategy come into place when you want to make a priority to take care of the problem? Is it something that you can kind of patch as you go when you discover that the bots arrive? Or is it something that you want to strategize from the beginning of the business and be ready for when that happens?
Yeah, it's interesting. Whenever you talk to people who are looking at this problem, they all start from the philosophy of we can do it ourselves, right? And so they'll do it themselves, and they'll play IP address whack-a-mole, where they'll sit there and say, well, we're going to block this traffic. We think it's coming in too fast. It's whatever, and they'll write a bunch of rules on whatever tool, whether it's a web app firewall or whatever it is, and they will try and take care of it themselves until they suddenly realize that it's a never-ending game, and they're always going to come back. You block them here, they'll come back somewhere else. The whack-a-mole analogy is perfect in that regard. And so then once you realize the scale of the problem, you actually start saying, what are the things that you want to have it in a tool that will help you protect it? So you want something that's automated, that handles it around the clock 24/7, because it's not going away when you go to sleep. I mean, we've got data that we've seen that bots ramp up on the weekends when they think that you know, the security teams are you know, maybe lighter for the weekend, and so, you know, that's when the bots launch in, you know, and attack, you know, big sort of account takeover attacks and attempts. So it's something that you have to have, something that does automation, handles it when the attack is happening. It's not something that you can switch on and off whenever you feel like taking care of it. You have to actually have a tool that does that for you. But I think one of the things that people probably need to do to investigate things is some of the data points that we've had. A third of all the login attempts that we see are malicious bots. So if you think about that, if you just went to your login page and said, am I getting massive spikes of failed logins on my login page? Am I getting, you know, not all of those are just somebody, you know, clumsy fingers typing in their password incorrectly, right? They are actually bot traffic that's, you know, pounding away at that, seeing if they can get in. If you see huge spikes in there, that is a red flag for you to go and look at your logs and say, what is happening here? This is probably automated behavior. The same can be said for any other page, right? So if there's a specific product page that you have, you know, you could imagine a PlayStation console or Xbox console, for the gaming, if you went to those pages and saw big spikes of traffic on them, you could look at it and say, is this normal? Should we expect it now? Is this happening around the clock? Does it fit with when people would be awake in that time zone from wherever that bot is coming from? Because it's probably automated traffic if you're seeing these spikes. So investigating that spike of traffic is an important one. And the one thing is that not all protections should be the same. So you might not protect your homepage on your site with the same level of security protection settings that you would put on your login page. So you might put things like your capture to see if you could get rid of some simple bots by putting a capture up on you know, and other obstacles. You would tune it depending on what that page has on it. So some of those things are about investigating where bot traffic is in your environment, and then working out how you would put obstacles, as I mentioned before, up in front of them to prevent as much traffic as possible.
Yeah, that's great. And I'm picturing two parts to this. So there's the tsunami of activity that's coming your way. The tsunami's there, right? You can't say not turn the faucet off. I don't want the tsunami. It's going to come. And then there's the impact once it hits, and being prepared for that and looking for the critical assets and protecting them. Can you give a couple of examples, maybe from customers, that you not necessarily name them, but where they've implemented a process, a set of tools, and communications to prepare for the tsunami? And then you touched on a few examples, but maybe some more use cases on how to look at the logs, manage a response, how customers actually deal with the once the water is leaking in as well. That would be great.
So in terms of what it is, it's more the customers have to understand the financial impact on their business, and then that's what they will start to put protections against, right? So I'll give you an example. Airlines are worried about their look-to-book ratio. So how many people look to a flight and the ratio of how many people actually book it. And they worry about that because they pay per request for every time they go to a booking site, their booking engine. And so what they want to do is manage that look-to-book ratio. So they're looking just to see what the results are on that ratio for them, and they will push up and push down their security settings based on that ratio because they have a threshold that they want to hold into. And then you sit there and go on login pages, you probably want to have far more resistance because there's a balance here when you actually think about it, how people put protections up. Do I want to be possibly intrusive and add friction for my real human users versus blocking all bots? And there's an art and a science to this of if you put every obstacle up, you might, you know, some humans might look like they're moving through a site really fast or something, and they might get tripped up by this. They might not get through the capture, so they might get caught up in that. So there's a balance between how much automation can handle it and versus how much real human traffic. So you need to make sure that you're not interrupting real human traffic, because that's going to buy the goods that you're selling, and that's the traffic that you want on your site. So there is certainly an art to how and the management process of this, looking at your logs and saying which areas of our site are particularly prevalent to having bad bot traffic, and there are tools like the ones that we offer that will tell you which pages it's on, and give you sort of recommendations for how you would ramp up your settings, whether you want to block outright or whether you want to monitor the traffic and see what they do and see if you can follow it through. There's different ways of, and you know, like I said, the obstacles that you put in that will give you more information about it. For example, with the on the account takeover issue, we've noticed that if you see an account that has a lot of logins on it, so an inordinate amount of logins, most people might log in once, twice, three times a day into a certain account. They don't probably do it more than that. Bot operators will test that things are working on a real account, and just to see if it's working. So they might log into account hundreds, thousands of times a day. That's an indicator that that's got way too many logins for a normal user, that might be an indicator that that's the account that the bot operator is using as a canary account to see if they're being detected and spotted. And so there's different, behaviors that we've seen across the board that, you know, do indicate that bot activity is happening. And that's just an example of one.
Yeah. So let's start looking even into the future, right? So advanced technology, I love that term, artificial intelligence, machine learning, how much are they helping now? And what do you think they can help more? And you know, what is Imperva Labs thinking, you know, those crazy scientists in there, how are we going to prevent this to even happen? And maybe the fear, that's my kind of like my take, is you always have that fear of by mistake blocking the legit traffic. And that's why you can't go too heavy on that. So what is technology and advanced technology coming to help? What do you see happening in the next few years ahead of us?
Yeah, I mean the interesting part is that the detection methods, there are, you know, some of the simplistic things like rate limits that you might put in front of people to say, okay, you can't access this pages too fast, you can't go through pages too fast, those types of behavior, very well understood, and that'll get rid of a certain percentage of bots. Then you've got various other techniques, and all the way, as you mentioned, to machine learning and catching things in clusters. This looks like it's similar to other ones. You've got the wisdom of the crowd, you've got shared data across multiple sites. So if I'm protected on a site over here, or if a bot is detected on a site over here, how do we get that identity shared across the network so other sites are also protected from that? And I think the technology is evolving continuously, and machine learning is clearly a way that this is an automated problem. So you have to continue to have an automated solution. It's not just going to be managed by humans sitting there looking at a screen and as I said, playing bot whack-a-mole, because it's too, the volume is too much, right? So you're not going to be able to deal with millions of bot requests a day on one page, which is what you might see for a high demand show, or we're even seeing, similar levels just on pharmacies and healthcare. We're seeing bot traffic that's up to 25,000 requests an hour that are just checking to see whether you have a vaccine available. And so automation is going to have to be involved in this. And so machine learning is a vital component of that, and is constantly being refined and new models being worked out about these behaviors that bot operators do. And like I said, sometimes it's not about the accounts that where it looks like the bot traffic is coming from. It's looking at the behavior in accounts that look like normal humans are in them as well, and trying to correlate the two. So I think we're getting way smarter at trying to understand who's doing it and getting attribution to where who's actually performing this, because right now it's about blocking the traffic, but getting behind it. And I think that's where people are going to start doing more and more forensics about what's happening behind the scenes and who's actually doing these attacks.
Yeah, and I know you're pulling some stats from this year's report, the Bad Bot Report, and it's fabulous to have this report to kind of give us a story of what you're seeing. I believe the value of that research that you're doing, you take way beyond the report, though. So it feeds the product that you're building. It feeds the communications you have with your customers as a trusted partner to help them. And you touched on seeing the trends from one industry to the next. I'm picturing you watching this wave of locusts switching from one region to another. And so tell me how you leverage this research and your ongoing analysis of the bots that you're monitoring and seeing to help your customers be prepared and understand and put the tools and protections in place that they need.
Yeah, I mean, the challenge of a report like this is that it's an aggregate of a lot of data. And so you've got a significant amount of just number crunching that comes through it, and you don't get to actually dive into each and every problem. You don't get to evaluate each and every use case, or you might be missing things. So you're providing a high level overview, that probably is not deep enough for every company, because once they start seeing it themselves, they actually go, it's these pages, it's this function over here, or feature is being attacked. And each company has a unique story. I'll give you the one that baffles me, and I'm not sure if you've heard it before. Bots use stolen credit cards on charitable donation websites to make a micro donation. And then they will know that credit card that's been stolen is still in circulation, and then they can go and use it somewhere else. So charities actually are dealing with a bot problem, or anywhere where you can make a donation of these little micro donations. And then if the customer suddenly comes back and says, I never made that donation to that, now they've got to repay them, and they've got a whole bunch of costs associated with refunding these credit cards. And so, bots doing things like that. And when you start finding out about it, you just got to go open your mind and go, what do we have on our website? What do we have that our business shows that could be exploited in some way? Because someone at some point is going to think about how they can do it.
So what's your advice to the charities listening then? What do they do?
Yeah, I mean, it's know that behavior is out there, and then if they suddenly see this rise in fraudulent activities, they've got to think about how they address that. Whether they, look for a tool that can eliminate that traffic, bot mitigation, or put some other security procedures in place, that's certainly something that they're going to have to do. I think what we're seeing is that bots, as more and more people and websites, more and more people are online, websites are becoming bigger, websites are becoming more and more important to the lifeblood of an organization. Automation is growing, and it's only going to grow. So the problems, I think we're just at the beginning of the problem. I think this is only going to get bigger, because it's not like a traditional security problem where it might happen one off, right? Or it happens infrequently. This is just happening around the clock. So that's the issue here, is that it's as I said before, it's a management problem, rather than it's going to be an eradication problem, because it's the ways that you could be abused are so varied.
It's the worst part is that I have a friend who's a robot, is a bot, and every time you try to get into a website and they ask, are you a robot? It says yes, and he can go anywhere. we have to think about those one as well, the good one. They want to go into the internet. Sean, do you have any friend like that apart from me?
Are you calling me a robot? Are you calling yourself a robot?
I know you haven't been able to go in any website lately.
Exactly. I'm constantly blocked. Now, this is good. I think what I'm taking from this conversation, and we kind of set the stage for this in the first episode as well, that this is complex, right? It's not a single line. I think we even talked about this last time. It's a very blurry line. What is good? What is bad? What's legitimate? What is nefarious? And I mean, it's difficult to kind of grasp what this is. And I guess my takeaway is that if you're not thinking about it, you're probably not recognizing that you have a problem. And with that, you're probably not recognizing the impact to your business because of that problem. So for me, the first step is, and you said, once somebody reads the report and looks at the data, they immediately go, well, this is great. But for me, and so my personal view is, take this report, the bad bot report, look at these scenarios, and you're going to say, that's not me, but I can see where that will have a role in my business and potentially.
But that could be, right? That's the
thing. It also could be. Yeah. It most certainly could be as well. So I'm going to make a pitch for the bad bot report. Take a look through the stats and the stories, and certainly listen to the first episode for some additional use cases that Edward presented to us. And from that, at a minimum, you'll be thinking about the traffic on your site and is it good or not. And from there, you probably want to reach out to somebody, a partner you can work with, to take the technology to to bear to help eliminate some of the human errors that are human challenges that you'll have figuring out what's good or bad, because there's no human that's going to do it all.
So Sean, next time that you see a really spike in our audience, start thinking that it could not be that you're so good, but maybe it's just it's that we have been attacked.
Edward. I can go in, Marco, into influencer bots, where people who promote charts or, you know, they want people to listen to things, they are having bots that would move a song up the charts.
Ooh. Yeah.
So that's, you know, a bot doesn't play to anybody, but it still moves you up the charts. I mean, that's still a problem, right? So
influencers, and I'm doing my my air quotes for the people who are not are listening on the radio.
Or nothing. Very interesting point. Everything is algorithm driven these days.
I feel like this could be an entire podcast. I don't know.
Exactly. Think that's all another.
But the one thing that that startled me when I looked at this is that of all the sites, you know, thousands of sites that we and customers that we protect around the world, we see at 16% of the time they are being attacked by an account takeover bot. So think about that. That's just one type of bot. So you have a login page, 16% of your year, there is a bot hitting your website. And that's probably my stat I'll leave you with.
Yep. And unless bots are your customer, you're not doing that good. And with that, great conversation. I have to say, I mean, I achieve what I always hope, make people think and entertain a little bit. Why not? But to be serious about the problem, because there's no questions about it. So Edward, thank you so very much for this conversation. And we hope to talk to you soon again.
Thank you, guys. It's been a pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed this conversation. If you learned something new and this story made you think, then share ITSBmagazine.com with your friends, family, and colleagues. We hope you will come back for more stories and follow us on our journey. You can always find us at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society.